The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
My first guest this morning is part of a group that, in all honesty, no one would want to be a part of. Sarah Kiley is from County Waterford and she's a mum to baby Cass. She's one other child as well. And just last month, Cass got a very hard diagnosis. Sarah's here to tell us about it and how we can support the family on their journey as they progress. Sarah, you're very welcome to The Sunday Grill.
Thanks so much.
You're very brave coming in. It's just last month in September, we're only into early October, that Cass got this diagnosis. And Cass is just a little baby, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's just a small, little, typical little 7-month-old rolling around the place now at the moment.
And then you have a 7-year-old as well.
I do, and that's Tyson. Tyson is full of life and eager for more, of course. So I suppose what brings me here today is at the start of September, Cass got diagnosed with Dravet syndrome, which is a rare and incurable type of epilepsy. It's one of the most extreme. It's not hereditary. It comes from a gene mutation. I suppose the main aspects of this condition is that it comes with from mild to severe, and it comes with a lot of seizures, which are hard to control because it's drug resistant. So it's absolutely a life-changing diagnosis.
When were you, like, were you told all that information in one go?
Yes, so we sat for about four weeks ago? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been a lot to take on. Like, it's completely changed our lives for the whole family.
And quite a quick diagnosis if he's only 7 months. When did the symptoms start?
So his first seizure was at the start of June. He had a really prolonged seizure, which seen him transferred by ambulance to Waterford Hospital. From there, he went to Temple Street. He was intubated and he spent
a week. So he was about 4 months old then?
4 months old, wow. Yeah. So that typically the first big seizure will be seen before they turn a year old. Obviously, we went home and hoped that maybe this will be a one-off, but something in the back of my mind told me it was going to be a little bit different. In the start of July then, Cass had another prolonged seizure, which had him admitted to hospital again. So from that first seizure in the start of June, Cass had MRIs, EEGs and genetic testing. We went back to Temple Street at the start of September and I knew there were some results from the genetic testing in, as they didn't want to give the results over the phone. So I knew something was coming, and then Cass got diagnosed with the Dravet syndrome.
Wow. And up until that 4 months, was he just a regular baby? No symptoms at all? No little symptoms?
No, just came out of the blue? Completely typical little 7-month-old meeting all his milestones absolutely perfectly. And he just smiles all day long. So you'd never look at him and think, OK, there's something going on.
I'm so sorry. I know how difficult it is to have a newborn in the first place. And your days are kind of turned upside down, but it's so full of joy at the same time. But, you know, any little inkling when you have a little baby can put you in panic mode. Yeah. I'm so sorry that that panic turned into something so...
so drastic.
So drastic. Yeah, yeah. And, like, what, are you just processing it now over these last few weeks?
I think it took me a while. I did a lot of crying, a lot of thinking about it. And obviously we're still dealing with it, like, because every day is different. Now you wake up, you don't know what's going to happen with Cass, when the seizures are going to happen, when a family day out can turn into an emergency. So it's a lot. It's a lot to take on.
So your life has really changed in the last few weeks.
Yeah. So a lot of families will go from 2-income household to 1-income household because the baby now requires 24/7 care. So that's someone foregoing their career for this as well. And it's a lot.
And what does that mean for your sleep and his sleep then? Have you an alarm in or?
So sleep is very hard at the moment because you don't know if these clonic tonic seizures are going to happen overnight, if you're going to be woken up, you're afraid in case you're going to sleep through them. We're in the process of getting seizure mats and things in place, but it's getting the right one for the right child because each child is going to have a variety of seizures then as well.
Wow, so you really are in such an unknown world and also an unknown world with very few people in it. Just 2 diagnoses this year in Ireland.
Yeah, 1 to 2 every year. So it's a 1 in 20,000.
Wow.
There's only about 40 families in Ireland.
And have you met those families?
I've spoken to a few of them. Okay. They will have family days under Dravet Syndrome Ireland. They do symposiums and a few resource days for families to educate them and stuff. But there hasn't been one yet. We're hoping for one in November.
And you said that this is drug resistant. What does that mean? He can take some drugs, but slowly but surely he becomes resistant to those.
Yeah, so a lot of the drugs, they build up kind of a tolerance to them. There's one drug on the market at the moment that hasn't been approved by Minister Stephen Donnelly for funding. So that's another little area we're looking into. And that drug is called fenfluramine. There's a big petition online at the moment and pressure on Minister Stephen Donnelly to have it approved for funding.
And, like, how is Cass in his day to day? You said he's a lovely, smiley child. And how is Tyson as well?
So this is absolutely I can't even put into words how it's had an effect on Tyson. He was there to witness the first seizure. He cried, "Mommy, is Cass going to die? Is he going to be okay?" So he was completely gripped with fear. He's still fearful in case something is going to happen. It's changed how we can go out to events with Tyson, because there's triggers everywhere, from patterns to overcrowding to overstimulation. It's just, it's constant. It's everywhere.
Actually, I never even thought of that. So you have to think of triggers as well.
Yeah, so you never know, like, when you're going to have an emergency, you need to know the fastest route to the hospital, where you are at all times in relation to a hospital. So it's just completely life-changing.
And has he had many seizures since the diagnosis?
So he has a variety of seizures from focal to absent, and he would have those daily. And then obviously we were in contact with his neurology team to change meds, to increase meds, to add on meds. So every day is different. He has a variety from morning to night. And some days we'll have good days and some days we'll have bad days.
And is this a life-limiting diagnosis?
Yeah, so in terms of the seizures and the prolonged seizures, they're the most dangerous aspect of it, because they have impact on physical development, behavioural issues and even intellectual. So like the children have a lot to deal with. So
it's very tough to have to deal with that as a family as well. And you are asking for support. You're trying to raise some funds. What will the funds be raised for?
So all the funds raised will go to Dravet Syndrome Ireland. They will use it for family support grants. They will use it for family days for education. They'll also have little days out for all the families of siblings with Dravet Syndrome to come together and have a little day out. I think the next one is in the National Science Museum. So it's a lot of education talks and symposiums where they bring professors across from Glasgow that are working on trials to help with this syndrome. So the money is going to be used for a lot of great things.
And is that helping you getting involved and trying to do something?
Yeah, so I felt like sitting there crying wasn't going to do anything. So if I can get involved and make some positivity, it will help me deal with it and help Cass as well in the long term.
Now, you're not asking any mean feet of your community in Kilmacthomas in County Waterford. Hello, Kilmacthomas. You're going to be lunging, I hear, on October the 25th to the 26th for 24 hours of lunging from your home in, and Cass's home, of course, in Kilmacthomas to Temple Street Children's Hospital in Dublin, where unfortunately Cass has already spent some time there. So that's 191,000 metres. I have to say, of all the exercises I do, a lunge is guaranteed to have me in bits.
not the easiest one.
It's not the easiest. So people have taken you up on this though, haven't they?
Yeah, so the event will actually take place in CrossFit Dungarvan, where is my second home.
Okay.
We have loads of clubs from all over the county and actually across the country coming on board. So we have Move itself in Dungarvan, CrossFit Dungarvan, obviously, BPM Coaching, Alpha in Waterford, Precision Health and Fitness. We have Kerwin's Fitness. We have CrossFit Limvaddy coming on board.
And there's some GAA clubs as well.
There's loads of GAA and soccer and rowing
clubs.
They're
going to use their pitches and things, are they?
Okay. So I know Dungarvan GAA will do 2 hours on the Saturday morning where they'll have
lunches.
Yep. So they'll have kids to adults, retired members, everybody coming back to lunch with us to raise awareness. And also I have a brother in France and his partner's rowing club Environ is going to row the distance of Lac de Bourget in support of this as well to raise awareness.
I think I'd row over lunging. To tell you the truth,
it's only 8,000 metres an hour.
Wow. And like you're so, as you were saying, the support is phenomenal. And people like from outside of Waterford, outside the southeast, even can take you up on this if they want to.
So lots of CrossFit clubs and GAA and soccer clubs are going to do it in their own clubs as well across the country. We've got France, Dubai, Australia and Scotland involved as well.
And is that a real community, CrossFit?
Yeah, it is. It's just, but not alone that, we have the doors open to absolutely everybody. So there's members of the public coming in that have never set foot in a gym before coming into lunch with us. So it's great.
Brilliant. Yeah. So as we said, that is October 25th until the 26th. You're starting at like 3 p.m. and you're doing 24 hours into the night. Are you going to do that full amount or you are?
I'm going to be there from morning to night.
Okay, fair play to you. Can people get more details anywhere about that event?
So all the details are on CrossFit Dungarvan page. They're also on my page and that's just Sarah Kiley on Instagram.
Lovely stuff. You can search for Sarah there on Instagram. You know, you're your Instagram only a few months ago, you were in Disney in Paris, weren't you?
Yeah.
And oblivious. Things just changed. Oblivious.
Yeah.
Like no seizures at that stage.
He had some mini focal seizures over there, but we never knew this diagnosis. And if we did, we wouldn't have went.
Okay. Yeah. So you're delighted you went to Disney.
Yeah, and thankfully everything went okay.
Okay, well, listen, thanks a million for coming into studio. I know you're so busy with everything, and say hello to Cass and to Tyson for us. You are Sarah Kiley on Instagram. You can search for just Sarah Kiley as well, and the GoFundMe link is there if you fancy a bit of lunging. Not a lot, just 191,000 metres on October the 25th, but of course you can do as much as you can there to support Sarah and her family, and of course baby Cass as he journeys on with this, like, I don't even know how to describe this diagnosis. Just life changing.
It's absolutely devastating.
Devastating. Yeah. Well, look, take care of yourself. Thanks a million for coming in this morning.
Thanks
Sarah.
So much for having me, Orla.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's five counties, one station. You're listening to Beat 102-103, and this month is Sober October. And if the initiative is something you're partaking in, then I have a festival that might be just for you. And it's right here in the southeast. It's called Hidden Hearth Wellness Festival, and it takes place in Lisnava in Rathvilly in County Carlow next weekend. It's got so much going on. So let's try and get a good rundown from the festival co-organisers that are Emily Bunbury and Una O'Sullivan. You're both very welcome to the Sunday Grill.
Thank you, Orla.
You have so much going on. And we'll talk about the wild hurling in a bit, because I was like, what is that? But let's talk about the origins of this idea. Autumn is a bit of a colder time to be having a 3-day festival, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been really lucky with the weather for the last couple of
years.
So, and we have lots of indoor space, so where, you know, people can cozy up. And the origins of the festival really ran because I've always had a very big interest in well-being. We run retreats here ourselves and work with teachers who are, you know, a lot of holistic well-being classes. So it really kind of stemmed from there, and you know, I also love festivals, and I love the vibe that people have during festivals. People can be who they want to be, and they usually, you know, it's just this community feeling of getting people together who are like-minded, and just having that really amazing sort of space where they can just, you know, be who they are and want to be. So I that's what I love about festivals.
And Una, did you pick October for any reason in particular?
Well, Emily actually chose October because Lisnava has over 200 acres of woodland. So it's such a beautiful space to be in, the change of seasons, and the trees are all just starting to change colour. And we're also on the, you know, the descent into Samhain. And it's a really good time to kind of honor the outer half of the year where we've all been so busy and oversaturated over the summer months, and just kind of come together before we all go into our little hibernation phase during the winter and have one kind of weekend of nourishment, especially, you know, the fact that it's alcohol and drug free. Everyone just feels super connected and revitalized after the weekend together. We can cozy up by the fire, have a sauna, a sweat lodge, dance, and just take it really easy. It feels like a good deep sigh after a busy summer.
Oh, that's a nice way to put it. And when it comes to that alcohol and drug free, is that something you were very definite about, or did it come kind of organically with the festival itself?
It was something that we felt strongly about. And it's really just so that people can have that connection without the kind of crutch, as we call it, of the alcohol. And it just really brings people together much closer, and they can have much more meaningful conversations. And really, you know, it is a well-being event after all. So, you know, with the arts. So it's very much, you know, alcohol really is something that is to be avoided in those kind of circumstances anyway. And yeah, it's really just getting people together on a much more different level. And obviously the recovery is a lot easier. So that's always a bonus. And this year we're running, for the first time, we're running our community kitchen, which is another kind of reason to bring people together. So instead of going to a food van and getting your food, you actually can, we're going to be serving wholesome food from our kitchens and people can go into a nice warm space and eat together.
And so it's on from the 11th to the 13th of October, so next weekend. Are people staying in Lisnavagh then, or what are they doing?
So most actually people who have bought a ticket so far have been very brave and decided to camp.
Wow.
And the accommodation at Lisnavagh is all kind of reserved for facilitators and musicians and stuff. But we have a list of local B&Bs and accommodation on the website, and some people come and go. So there's many different options for ticket wise. People can just come for Saturday or just come for Sunday. People can choose an option to come for the weekend but not camp, which is a little bit cheaper than coming to camp for the weekend. If you have a camper van, you can come in your camper van. So we do our best to make it as accessible as possible. And also from today on, we're running some discounts for single parents, just to support, because it's a family friendly event. We have full programming for kids, and under 12s go free. And we also have a 20% discount for anyone, because it is a sober festival, for anyone who comes through an AA or NA network. All they have to do is just come in touch, or anyone in recovery. All they have to do is get in touch with us, and we're really happy to support those people to come and be in community, because that's really what it's all about, is for us to come together and support each other.
You have so much going on. It's almost hard to get through the amount of stuff that you have going on over the 3 days. You've everything from music to, like you were saying, saunas. And then I was reading that Dermot Ling, who's an ex-Wexford hurler and has an amazing story to tell, but he's going to be there. And then I saw the headline, Wild Hurling, and I thought, that's definitely going to be Dermot. And it is it?
It is. That's himself. And it's wonderful. I mean, Orla, if you could ever see this site, Wild Hurlers in front of listeners of our house on the front lawn. It's just incredible. So because it was so popular last year and the year before, we're actually running it both days this year. And it's just a really beautiful chance for people to get active and physical, and also connect with like that Indigenous sport in a different way from how maybe the GAA facilitated.
You provide the hurls.
He does.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then lots of music happening as well.
Yeah, loads of music. So we have some wonderful headliners who listeners might be familiar with, such as Liam O'Mwainley from Hot House Flowers, John Spillane. And then we have amazing up and coming Irish acts such as Huartin and Grooveline. And then, just an array of other various bands, solo artists, singer-songwriters over two stages across the whole weekend, which will be so beautiful. Wallace Bird is going to open the stage on Friday night, which is amazing. She's making a homecoming. And then we have electronic music at nighttime too.
Brilliant. I'm both impressed by your lineup and also impressed that there is a festival happening in October in the southeast of Ireland, and a 3 day festival at that. So fair play to you. It is called Hidden Hearth Festival. If people want to get more details, you can go to your website. It is hiddenhearthfestival.ie, the 11th to the 13th of October. A lovely way to almost get ready for winter time and hibernation, like you were saying. Una and Emily, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's a great way to show off the woolly hat.
Yes. I'd need the woolly hat in the summertime, so I don't know how I'd do in October. Thanks a million for chatting.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Orla. Have a wonderful day.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Talk about the Savour Kilkenny Festival, which is the 16th one this year. It is approaching with lots going on, including a new initiative, a nighttime food market. If you're someone who's been to places like Bangkok, or you know how a bustling food market is so great at nighttime, well, Marion Flannery is the food festival manager from Savour Kilkenny, and she joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to tell us more. You're very welcome back to the Sunday Grill. I feel I haven't talked to you since pre-COVID times.
It's been 12 months,
Marianne. Thank you very much for talking to me.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing? You've been doing this a long time. Does this get bigger and bigger every year?
Getting bigger and better every year. And, you know, we look forward to that beautiful, crisp autumn air. And all those lovely smells that waft through the city. As you know, we're located on Kilkenny's Parade, which is under our magnificent castle. So we're thrilled to have another festival. It's our 16th year, as you said. We've over 100 fabulous stallholders from all over the country and amazing events. Oh, we've over 80 events in total.
Great events. I saw some getting the most out of your pumpkin. You're really thinking of the time that you're doing the Savor Kilkenny Festival. Real autumnal Halloween-y events in there and lots of different things as well. Let's talk about this initiative of the nighttime market, because it's part of 9 select cities that have been chosen to participate in this, isn't it?
It is indeed, Orla. I'm sure you've heard of the Nighttime Economy Initiative. It's a national initiative of which, as you say, Kilkenny is one of 9 cities that are involved in it. And the idea is to, I suppose, give people a little bit more to do at night in terms of activities and entertainment and I suppose provide alternatives maybe to our pub culture. So for Savor, we're delighted to keep our market open till 9 p.m. on the Saturday night, so people can come out and have some nice street food late at night. And also we have a fabulous a concert being held in Kilkenny Castle, in the grounds of Kilkenny Castle. So you can imagine that beautiful backdrop. And we have ABBA-esque performing there on Saturday evening at 6:30. So tickets become available and we will have, they're free, but it has to be ticketed. So first come, first serve.
Okay. And when do they become available?
They're available from now.
Okay.
Get on it.
Now, this is all over the bank holiday weekend. We forgot to mention that. 100 stalls, Savor market holders, as you said, and 80 events and 24 free cookery demos. So much going on. And when I was talking about the night market and thinking about it as well, it just really reminded me of being, you know, in different countries where you're wandering around in the darkness. It's kind of summery time. It'll be a bit colder in Kilkenny. There's such a lovely vibe to that.
There absolutely is, Orla. And like, we're delighted once the rain stays away. And even if we have to dance in the rain, we will, but hopefully not. But as you said, one of the great things about Savor are the number of cookery demonstrations. And we purposely have them for free. So you can see people like Derry Clark, Rachel Allen, Edward Hayden, Rory O'Connell, Kevin Dundon, Gary O'Hanlon, you know, 24 of them all for free over the course of the weekend. And as you said, the night market is a lovely new initiative that we will hopefully get lots of people out at night. And then we roll right into Sunday and then onto the bank holiday Monday as well. While we don't have the stall holders on Monday, there's lots happening there for family and kids, health and wellness talks and demos. And we have Modder Monday. So anybody with an interest in dog health and nutrition, we have a great event happening with Leader and Red Mills on the parade on the bank holiday Monday.
Brilliant. Are there people who return to the demos every year? Do you see the same faces in the chefs and the different cooks that come?
I suppose, being honest, we would have festival favourites. That it's very hard to have a Savor food festival without them. And some of them,
Do you want to name any names there?
The better known names. I don't think we've had a Savor Kilkenny yet without either Rory O'Connell or Edward Hayden or Kevin Dundon. Kevin, I think, missed one year.
Okay.
But yeah, we have many festival favourites, but we also have lots of new people. So one of our stages is practically dedicated to up and coming and new.
Oh, great.
New people who are involved in wonderful food scene in Ireland. So
isn't that great that people want to come back every year though?
It is testament to how much they not alone enjoy working with us, but also enjoy the crack and the camaraderie and the fun. And, you know, I suppose we've wonderful eating events, dining events, drinks events, And many of our people, like, for instance, Rory is actually doing a pop-up, Rory and Co. So lots of his former students have come together, people who are running now their own food businesses across the country. And there is a wonderful dining event happening with Rory in the Medieval Mile Museum. And again, tickets for that are on sale on savourkilkenny.com.
Okay, good stuff.
So that'd be quite a unique experience for people.
And is that what you'd say, that send people to the Savour Kilkenny website or to the Instagram to have a look?
Everything is on our website and everything is categorized. So if it's sustainability you're into, if you want to see our family and kids events or your health and wellness, your demos, they're all categorized there because there is a lot to get through. You pop on to each event and you'll see the booking details there.
Okay, good stuff. Do you have a little plan when it comes to doing Savour Kilkenny when you've got some downtime and you've got stalls that you go to for breakfast and then lunch?
To remain calm, Orla, it's a fairly major event. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of people coming through the festival, and I relax probably on the Tuesday after the bank holiday.
Okay, well, hopefully there's some leftover food for you then, Marianne.
I don't think I'll ever be short of food, thank God.
Good stuff. Well, that is Savour Kilkenny back for its 16th year. As Marianne said, that's savourkilkenny.com, and it's all over the Halloween bank holiday kicking off on the 25th. Until the 28th of October. So much going on, but the new part of it is that nighttime market, which runs until 9 p.m. on the Saturday night. Is that right, Marianne?
That's it. It's Saturday night, yes.
Good stuff. And you can head into the castle to watch the music, but you need to book that.
Once you grab a ticket, yep.
Okay,
great,
and that's
stuff.
Free. Okay, good stuff, Marianne. I'll let you go on. I know you're really busy, so thanks a million.
Thanks, Orla. Lovely to chat to you. Thanks for your time and look forward to seeing everybody at the festival.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's a Sunday morning. You're listening to The Sunday Grill with me, Orla Rapple, and the Complaints Bureau is back and they are looking for some complainers, and that could be you. The Complaints Bureau is a consumer series on RTE One. Finance expert Owen McGee sets up a caseload for three consumer journalists advocating and arguing on behalf of members of the public who have hit brick walls. That trio are Connor Pope, Amy Malloy and Siobhan Maguire. And Connor joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to hear my complaints. You're very welcome, Connor.
Oh, I didn't realise I was going to be listening to your complaints.
Well, now, my complaints have nothing to do with finance or business. They're basically not feeling the greatest and have no lunch with me. So,
listen, it's a Sunday morning. We're all feeling a little bit ropey.
Exactly, exactly. And a Sunday after the budget. Do you find the budget quite exciting, Connor, in your work and in your life as well?
Exciting might be a strong word for it. Now, it is probably our busiest week in the Irish Times where I work, because basically from early on Tuesday morning all the way through until the end of Tuesday and then back in again on Wednesday, we were updating our website. I was responsible for the live story on our website, and it was constant updates about what happened, who said what are we getting? And then there was all the analysis and there was all the calculations. But to be honest, the budget nowadays is very different to how it was when I were a lad. Because back in the 1980s and 90s, and even in the 2000s, the budget was a closely guarded secret by the Minister for Finance. And if they even leaked a sentence of the budget beforehand, they were in awful trouble. Whereas this year and in recent years, almost every single detail in the budget is well known and well flagged days beforehand. So you could basically write all the stories a day or 2 days in advance.
And you'd presume they're true. Like, that's just taken as read, yeah?
Well, all of the political correspondents and political staff across all of the news media, like, they would be working very carefully to get their sources right. And you know what? They're very good at that job. So this is not something that I do, but it's something that my colleagues do. So if they say there's going to be a €2,000 widening of the top tax band, you know, you can pretty much take that to the bank. You know, they're not going to get that kind of stuff wrong. And in essence, the budget, if you to talk about the specifics of this year, it was probably the wildest budget I've ever seen in my lifetime, because they just appeared to have a huge amount of money, and they appeared to give away a lot of it to consumers. Now, it's probably, Orla, just a complete coincidence
that
we're weeks away from an election.
Now, will we talk the Complaints Bureau and what you'll be doing on it as a, what would you say, a consumer expert? Is that what we'd call you?
I'd always use the word expert advisedly, because it's not like I'm a personal finance.
Yes.
You know, I don't have any background in personal finance or anything like that. But what I have been doing in the Irish Times for 20 years, this month, 20 years in September, has been looking after the queries and complaints and concerns of Irish Times readers.
And that was all pre-internet and pre-Googling in many ways.
Funnily enough, I started work in the Irish Times on the Irish Times website in 1996.
Okay, all right.
I thought you didn't have internet back then. Yeah, I know. And I started working on the Irish Times, on the consumer side of it, in 2004. So we were still 8 years into the internet, Orla. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. So you build up a level of knowledge from just doing it.
And isn't it a minefield, Connor? I often find, like, if I'm on a late flight or no one is emailing me back if I have a bill that I'm querying, that you really feel that there's so much jargon behind it and so many different, you know, acts, and that as a run-of-the-mill person that I cannot understand how I feel I'm in the right, but there's no one I can talk to or no one that can help me. And that's where you come in.
Well, there's a couple of different points. That's where the programme hopefully comes in. Because what we want to do is we want to hear from your listeners, people who've had difficult dealings with companies, or people who've been ripped off, or people who've been let down, or people who have been stolen from by scam artists, or basically people who have been mistreated in some way, and people who have found it extremely difficult to get any kind of redress. And we want to help them. And in the last series, that's what we did. Every episode, there was three different queries or complaints or concerns aired. Amy, myself and Siobhan all took one of them. And we generally had a good success rate at resolving people's problems and getting people money back. Like, sometimes we couldn't get people money back, but at least what we could do is we could highlight the scale of the problem so that people watching would realize they weren't alone. But the question you ask about, you know, is it's difficult to know your rights and it's difficult to get your head around all that stuff. Like, it's impossible. Like, when you think that the typical terms and conditions of a travel insurance policy could run to 25,000 words, like, who's going to read that? Like, when you download a new app or when you download the software for your phone, like, the terms and conditions, you just accept all of them without reading them because they're incomprehensible. So what I have found over the many years that I've been doing this is that far too often businesses just let people down, and they deliberately make it difficult for people to get redress, because what they're doing is they're selling you a product and it might not be up to scratch, and then they're hoping by putting obstacles in your way that you will just go away. And I think a lot of companies stand accused of that, and they can be big businesses, they can be banks, they can be airlines, they can be mobile phone operators, broadband providers, or they can be small little shops. So what we would love to do is hear the stories that your listeners have, particularly the stories that are ongoing. So if any of your listeners are dealing with a situation that they just can't get resolved, they can contact us, and hopefully we might be able to get involved and we might be able to get it resolved. And by the way, it's not because we have any kind of superpowers or we're super special or we're super knowledgeable. It's just that a lot of big businesses hate bad press.
Yes.
So as soon as there's this threat of bad press, a company will go, oh my gosh, sorry, we'll fix that problem. So that's how we can help. And yeah. I genuinely believe, and I'm not just saying this, I genuinely believe this is public service broadcasting at its finest, because a lot of the time programs will tell you there's a problem, but they won't do anything about it. And I understand that, because that's the nature of newspapers, it's the nature of radio, it's the nature of the internet and television. But what we want to do is we want to hear the problems and then actively try and resolve them. Mm-hmm. So that at the end of a program, we can say, well, Orla came to us because she had a problem with her broadband provider and they owed her 500 euros and we've managed to get her the 500 euros back. And that, to me, is the ultimate result of the program.
And in the meantime, does a viewer then learn something about their consumer rights when it comes to their internet provider?
Absolutely. Mm. Because, I mean, but it's not that we're lecturing people. We're not saying, here are the 10 things that you need to know. Because I think, ultimately, you know, it's a short enough program, a prime time on RTE, and there's only so much information you can impart. But what we will hope to do is show people the steps that they sometimes need to take when it comes to getting redress. And sometimes it can be, you know, sometimes you just need to be really dogged and dig your heels in. Because the bottom line, as I say, is an awful lot of companies deliberately put obstacles in the way of people getting redress. And the awful thing is, I mean, the poor unfortunates who are working in the customer care departments or who are working on the shop floor, like, they're often the least well paid, the least informed, and the least empowered people in the company. And yet they're the ones that we all end up shouting at because mm-hmm. we have been mistreated. And there are better and more effective ways to complain. So another element of the program is to show people, like, you know, if you're strategic about how you go about it, sometimes you can get redress.
Great to hear. And, you know, things like the Oasis concert tickets, for example. You know, yeah. are there things like that, you know, really when it comes to day-to-day life, they're minuscule compared to, you know, trying to buy a house or trying to get your plumbing fixed and the plumber hasn't turned up for weeks. But they're still important to people. And they're, you know, are they things that you can turn around or create a discussion on, this dynamic pricing or?
Well, certainly I know that in the last series, Amy Malloy looked after or handled a query about concert tickets. And it was about an event that was cancelled as a result of the rain, or was at least severely curtailed as a result of the terrible weather we had that summer. These do not have to be big problems. They can be small, niggly problems that people have been banging their heads against the wall for weeks or months to try and get resolved. Because the bottom line here is, all customer disservice and all mistreatment needs to be called out, because it's only by calling it out, that we will bring these companies to heel. And I say that I don't mean that in an aggressive or hostile way, but you have to show these big operators that there is consequences if they mistreat mm-hmm. their customers, that they can't just treat us really badly. And in terms of the dynamic pricing model, I mean, in some ways that story is too big.
Yes.
Because it's just like when you see what's happening with concert tickets all over the world, it's absurd. And that's why, as it happens, the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission is carrying out an investigation of dynamic pricing as we speak. And that's why the government or the Minister for Enterprise had to get involved, because those kinds of problems are like, you don't want them to become built into our society, because mm-hmm. then we just end up living with them and we kind of think, oh, how much did you pay for your ticket? I paid 100, I paid 400, and yet you're standing side by side with the same person. Exactly. And that's not specific to any one band. I mean, the troubling thing about the dynamic pricing with Oasis, like, that it's never really happened in Ireland before. I mean, previous summer people were complaining about high priced Taylor Swift tickets.
Yeah.
And Lord knows, I went to Taylor Swift and I took my kids to Taylor Swift and I paid through the nose uh-huh. for Taylor Swift tickets. But I think it was represented good value for money, because not only did we get to see Taylor Swift, who was amazing, we also had a year's worth of anticipation, and my children will have a lifetime of memories of the concert. So I think that was worth it.
Exactly.
But Taylor Swift, the tickets were expensive and we couldn't get the cheap tickets, so we ended up paying one of the VIP levels. Now, there wasn't a really high price, but it was like over 300 quid a ticket. Mm. But, you know, there wasn't the dynamic ticket pricing
model. No, and I saw influencers in the States putting up ticket prices for Taylor Swift in America who were doing dynamic pricing, and it was crazy.
Listen, I was working I volunteered to work at the Taylor Swift concert in June for the Irish Times, and I wrote a colour piece about it. You know, but like my primary function was to be at the concert. So we paid full price for the tickets like everybody else. There wasn't any freebies. But I spoke to a few of the people in our seating area. Like, almost all of them were American.
Yes.
And I was like, what's going on here?
So much cheaper.
And they had worked out that it was cheaper to buy tickets for Dublin, fly over, stay in Ireland for 3 nights than it was to buy the tickets for a concert in the United States. And we don't want to get to a place where that's the situation in Ireland too.
Exactly. Well, you are the man to talk to on the Complaints Bureau if you have any sort of consumer complaints, from concert tickets to a leak in your bathroom. Well, Connor is there with lots of other experts. We're not calling you expert. What do you want to be called? You said expert is too... What will we call you? Advisor.
I'm just your friend, Orla. Your consumer friend.
Your pal, Connor Pope from the Irish Times, will be there along with two other people, Amy Malloy and Siobhan Maguire, and finance expert who is calling himself an expert, Owen McGee, heads it all up, but is the Complaints Bureau. If you have a complaint, there is an email address, Connor, isn't there?
There is. If people want to get in touch, they can contact us at consumer@indiepix.ie. That's IndieIndie. So consumer@indiepix.ie. And if they send us a mail, one of our hardworking team will be in touch and we hopefully will be able to get some redress or resolution.
Brilliant stuff. That is the Complaints Bureau back on RTE later on this year, and you could take part in it. As Connor said, you can contact on that email. Connor, thanks a million.
Thanks very much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It is Beat 102-103. It's a big day here in the Sunday Grill studios because the man, the myth, the constant just leaving me is back.
And I have a tan. Do you think I have a tan?
Yeah, oh. I suppose. Hello.
Hi, Orla.
How was it?
It was
You're
fun,
alive.
Orla. I am alive.
Where's my present?
I got you two presents. So I got
I thought you would have forgotten. Last week I asked him to get me the tackiest, the kitschest of presents.
Okay.
But one that I would always have because we have to think about climate change. Okay?
So
we don't want anything ending up on the landfill.
There was a slight issue with that.
I feel he's ignored that.
I was at the time, I was sitting in a van outside a shopping centre in Bilbao. And I was like, it's a shopping centre. I'll find something in there.
Okay.
I went in and I couldn't find anything like tacky for tourists.
Okay.
And then I realized,
tacky for tourists, that has a good ring to it.
But then I realised, like, if you go into a shopping centre in like Kilkenny, it's not as if there's a load of Kilkenny stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, I couldn't really find anything because it's just a normal shopping. It wasn't like, it's not a touristy area, you see, so there's nothing.
Yeah.
So it was just normal, just a normal like supermarket and a normal like Taco Bell. So,
Taco Bell! Taco Bell.
I didn't get your Taco Bell. I got Taco Bell myself and then the sink of the boat, the ferry that I was on also got the same Taco Bell I was on later on.
No,
so.
On your 27-hour ferry.
It ended up being 30 because there was a storm.
Oh, Brian.
I slept for like 20 hours up with those. So.
Oh, well then, that's okay.
Okay, so I got you two presents.
Okay.
So the first one is less permanent.
Okay, so I can eat it.
There you go.
Oh, hurrah! Oh, this is my favourite chocolate.
Is
European
actually?
Chocolate.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I also gave a bar to my dad.
A massive bar.
We came to the conclusion that it tastes like Easter egg chocolate.
Well, even better. Thank you. It has a lovely thin feeling to it.
Yeah.
So, yum, yum, yum.
Good value. Good value
really,
chocolate.
A euro, so.
And then I got you a magnet.
Now, you see, you've done really well. You've really done well because I'm going to put that on my fridge forevermore. So that will not end up on a landfill for at least 20 years.
And it's actually a nice magnet.
It's a lovely magnet of the Guggenheim in Bilbao.
Yeah, which is actually quite a cool spot, to be fair.
Yeah, Bilbao, like I've flown in there to go to San Sebastian, but I've never thought of staying there.
No, I only went around there now for the day and I got I went to the Guggenheim and I got a jersey. So.
Oh, you're so
I know. Look at me getting a jersey.
Look at you. I'm so well-rounded and well-travelled now.
I know. Yeah, look at me. I've done my European road trip.
We're good now. That's done because I need you here.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
No more of that.
Okay. She has a very serious look on her face as she says that. Normally she like jokingly says these things.
Okay. Will we do a movie?
Oh, fine. I guess we will, yeah.
Let's
do it. That
was
just a presents thing.
I know, but look, I'm so delighted. I'm actually so delighted with the chocolate because I love... I'm a Spanish chocolate. It's called Dolca. I'm sure it's not called that. I'm sure it's Dolca or something.
Yeah.
But it says chocolate con leche. And that's how I like my chocolate, with milk.
Con leche.
Okay, let's talk. Saoirse Ronan, and you won't be surprised to hear that she's been highly praised for her latest role in the movie The Outrun. The actress is well used to accolades, but perhaps this is a different role for Saoirse. She plays Rona, a young alcoholic who's returned to her Scottish island homeland of Orkney, having recently got out of rehab. It's all a bit... Do you know when I was watching the clips? Yeah, it felt very much like The Whale.
Yeah, well,
do you remember that?
The Whale I thought was more motivational.
Well, yes, but I thought The Whale had that lonely kind of wintry feel about it. Anyway, this is The Outrun and it's based on the memoir by the Scottish journalist and author Amy Liptrot, and she also co-wrote this screenplay, so it'll be quite, quite real to life for her. So, Brian is back. He's over there.
Hello.
Will we have a listen?
Okay.
Let's do it.
The urge to drink can come out of nowhere. You think you're doing well. Suddenly you want nothing more than a drink.
How does London compare to Poppy?
A bit more going on, I guess.
So how long do you think you'll stay here for?
I have a life that I have to get back to.
How's Mum?
She offered to put me into her prayers. I'm scared. I miss it. I miss how good it made me feel.
So how long have you been sober?
63 days.
It never gets easy. just gets less hard.
There you go. That is The Outrun, starring Saoirse Ronan. A lot of names then after Saoirse that I didn't recognise at all,
yeah,
to say the truth.
Yeah, I'm the same small bit.
So
she plays a girl called Rona as well, yeah, which I think is kind of funny. It's like as if it's her nickname from her surname.
Saoirse Ronan.
Corona.
Yeah, I know that, but also Corona. And also Rona is quite an Irish name, I think, and Scottish name.
I've never heard of it, though.
I know a Rona. Okay. Yeah. And I spent a summer in Edinburgh. I seem to remember there being a few Ronas around.
And I just realised I'm wearing a Scottish jersey right now. So I'm actually... Look, I'm not lying.
Oh, that means nothing to me.
Oh, well, I'm representing Scotland in a big way right now.
Well done. Tell us about this. This isn't your bag. I watched this going, did Brian...
He
couldn't get to the premiere of...
Joker. And yeah, it's a very interesting movie.
Okay.
It's a movie I feel that would speak to a lot of people, but to me it's on deaf ears, if that makes sense. Because it's a girl called Rona. She's struggling with alcoholism.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about it's kind of like, you know the way alcohol is, it drags you in. And I was like, I don't drink.
Yes.
So then it was like, she's
but
like
any vice, I suppose you could.
Yeah, and there's different elements. It was like those parts where I was like, okay, I get this. I this is speaking to me, but I feel like it's.
But
it's,
do you want a movie to speak to you, Brian?
Oh, always.
Is that why you go to the
me
cinema
personally.
For?
Okay. No, well, I like to see things from people's different perspectives. Okay. I like to stand in for a person like this is to see from their point of view. Mm. And there's times in it where it's like she's absolutely in the wrong, and her boyfriend leaves her, and it's like. Good for him, honestly, because she's a mess and she's destroying everything around. She's destructive, you know.
So are we constantly on this Scottish island, or do we start off in London? Because at some stage she says, I have a big life back in London.
I feel like something that what might annoy you about it is a lot of intercuts between times.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like that's the kind of thing that wouldn't
don't
be.
Don't like that.
Because it's the only, and the
that's
way.
That's why I read a book.
The way to do, the way to tell differences is her hair colour. Which
okay.
There's a kind of cool thing because her hair is blue when she's kind of the most messed up.
Okay.
And then there's as the story goes on, it's the blue's kind of going out and it's blonde. It's I think that's kind of cool.
No, I just think that, we've talked about that before, that real smack you in the face kind of imagery, you know?
It's a very film festival film.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It looks it. It does. That really sounds like a book, and obviously its origins is a book. So that kind of back and forth reminds me. I would read that. I don't necessarily want to watch that.
Yeah, no, it was Saoirse Ronan, fantastic performance.
Yeah,
but
this is a real sleeper though. There's not much. I know there's lots of press about it now.
Yeah,
but we haven't heard much about it.
Fact I was looking at the listings and I saw Saoirse Ronan film. Yeah. I was like, oh, you can't miss a Saoirse Ronan film. She's always fantastic. But I don't know. There's an interesting theme. It made me think about this more than anything because. You find that actors seem to kind of go for the same type of roles. Now, I know it's a case of the alcoholism and stuff is different, but as it always seems to play a girl that seems to be arguing and on different path to her mother, but then they come to an understanding, Little Women, Lady Bird. It's there's a common thread that comes through. And same with this, it's again, it's herself and her mother seem to just not understand each other. And then as it goes on, they seem to understand each other's kind of life or whatever. Mm. But it's just, I don't know, it's an interesting thing like that. But that will tell you kind of the movie that I was thinking about, how her themes across her other movies rather than the movie itself. Because there's a lot of isolation and it's a lot of it's a lot of understanding her own mistakes and stuff. And it's I can't relate myself, so I couldn't fully get behind her. I feel it was a bigger issue. But it was an interesting look into the life of how debilitating alcohol can be for somebody, but at the same time, I don't know, I associate cinema with entertainment.
Yes, this and as you said, it's it feels like it is an indie movie in many ways.
It is a very indie movie, and it's one of those things. It's a powerful topic, but could I get my friends to go see it? Probably not.
No,
do you know?
And it looks wintry and grey, and
it's a very depressing movie. Yeah.
Again, the whale, you know.
The thing about the whale was...
Well, the whale was also pandemic times.
The whale was absolutely pandemic times.
Miserable amount of actors in it because of the pandemic.
And
you know?
Fantastic performances.
Yes, amazing.
And
but
it's
I'm sure
all about,
Outrun is the same.
It is, but I feel like it just never... Because it has that realness to it, whereas the whale was hyperbolic. It was he can't stand up. Do you know? It's it's nobody will talk to him. He won't go even outside. It's whereas this is lower, more realistic, and it takes away that kind of that big push. It's more like that gentle push in the end. Like,
I get
you.
Oh, you've gone so wise.
I know.
Black pudding it there for me, please, out of 10 for The Outrun, starring Saoirse Ronan.
As I seem to end up saying a lot of times, for me, it's one score, I'd say. But for somebody else that it could hit, like could relate to it, I'd say it'd be a much better score. I'd give it like a 5 or 6. Saoirse Ronan's like just really good.
Oh, she's amazing. Like, and has the Scottish accent,
because
of course, in this.
There are certain characters in this that you're like, these people aren't actors. I feel like they might be the people from the local things to actually give it that real vibe. And then Saoirse Ronan's in there as well. And it's like, I think Saoirse Ronan actually does live there. Like, it gives, like, it's, she's like, it's just.
She's so brilliant at accents. You know, I'd love to interview her and see if she'd be good at. Now, the Wexford accent is quite easy because it's quite sing-songy. The Waterford accent, I think she'd find that tough.
Yeah, it could be an alarming type interview to fair. You could end up with the greatest.
What did you say to me? 6 black puddings?
I give it 6, but I feel like somebody else could be like, oh my God, they really just understood the struggles. And it's like, this was me. And it's like, but this isn't me.
But you're a reviewer and you're giving it 6 black puddings out of 10. Thank you very much.
No problem.
As people might know, Brian and I are in a very competitive poking situation at the moment on Facebook. We've broken 100.
Yeah.
So I was in the office and you weren't here and I was like, is Brian in? Oh, when did he last poke me? And someone popped up and said, is he poking you too? And I said, what?
Who said that?
He's also poking you. Killian from Beat Breakfast.
Haven't poked him. Incorrect.
Good.
False news.
Are you poking anyone else?
I am in a couple of poke wars.
With some of our work colleagues?
I went on a walk. It's when I poked you the first time. I poked like
everyone.
Probably 80 people.
Okay.
But I'm in a constant poke war with my friend Joey in Australia and my friend Josh, who's every now and again, but and you. That's
it. Oh, brilliant. I'm the only one you poke. Great.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.